Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
This episode is brought to you by Movement Watches, but also sunglasses and other things.
Love all those things.
Agreed.
Red hot comic book movie news, shooting up your butthole. The Weekly Planet, The Weekly Planet.
Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of The Weekly Planet, where we talk movies and comics and TV shows. My name is James, also known as Mr. Sunday. With me, as always, is my co-host, Nick Mason.
James, it's great to be here. I notice you haven't cracked your kombucha yet.
I'm just saving it, Mason, because I'm running bloody ragged off my feet at the moment.
Sure.
And I just, when I need a boost in about a minute, I'm going to open it and then I'm going to get
into it. What is it going to give you, though?
It's got a bit of caffeine in there, mate.
Oh.
It's going to give me what I need, a weird-tasting drink with caffeine in it.
Incredible.
Yeah. I'm one of those guys, like, I don't drink coffee, but I more than make up for my caffeine intake by drinking weird sugar-free kombuchas and shit like that. Anyways, Mason, we're finally talking New Mutants this week, but who gives a shit?
Oh, Los Nuevos Mutantes.
Exactly.
More like Los Viejos Mutantes.
What's the difference?
Old Mutants.
Did you practice that?
No.
That's pretty good, man.
That's the limit of my Spanish.
That's so weird that you know those specific words.
Well, that's a guess. But
okay.
I'm pretty sure I'm correct.
So,
and if I'm not correct, we'll get emails. So.
Absolutely. You'll get emails specifically. Yeah. I won't get any because I didn't attempt it, just to clarify.
Yeah.
I have nothing to do with that. We're going to talk, though, also Black Panther
Los
news.
Los Huevos Rancheros.
That's a big 80s franchise is back.
Mm.
Some Bond news.
Oh.
Another CW show gets cancelled. Deadpool 3's happening.
Yeah.
We've got some one trailer in particular we're going to talk, or two trailers we're going to talk about, sorry. And then, of course, we've got some big news for DC and movies coming at Christmas, aren't we, mate? Wonder Woman I'm talking
about. That's exactly right. Just Wonder Woman. What happened to, remember Hobbs and Shaw? Do you remember Hobbs and Shaw?
Of course I remember.
In the vaguest possible sense. Remember how Hobbs and Shaw had like two CIA handlers, and one was Rob Delaney and one was Ryan Reynolds? Do you remember
that?
When are they going to get a movie?
Like their own?
Yes.
I think, aren't they going to just stay in the Hobbs and Shaw verse?
I guess, but I don't want any more Hobbs and Shaw.
Do you think there'll be a movie where Ryan Reynolds is out in the field and he's like, but I don't even want to wear cut off jean shorts because he has to do an action scene.
Oh, okay.
And that's what he's wearing for some reason.
All right.
Because he's a nerd and he doesn't know what to wear.
What is happening here? This is.
Because he's not used to being in the field. He doesn't know what you wear.
What's happening here is James is doubling down on this. He made a wild supposition about what rogue CIA agents wear in the field, and now he will not admit his mistake.
You know what? I think I need this.
You're going to crack that kombucha. That's right.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I guess they'll be in the next Hobbs and Shaw.
But I don't want another Hobbs and Shaw.
Too bad.
Those two mucking about.
Yeah, that would be fun, I think.
Right?
Anyway, we got to do some news, Mason.
Or just as they were in the movie, maybe just two separate adventures and they call each other on the phone and they explain what is happening.
Like a Zoom call?
Like a regular call.
Okay, cool.
And we would cut in between with filming, so we would know who's talking.
Oh, okay, cool. Well, that makes
and they
sense.
Would know in story because they've called one another.
Yeah, okay.
And there's caller ID presumably on their
so phones. Whatever you look, whatever way you look at it, everybody knows what's going on.
Everybody knows exactly what's going on. That's right.
That's the magic of movies.
Oh, quick side note.
Yeah.
Before I forget, this week I was on an episode of the podcast The Mug Off.
Oh, The Mug Off.
That's right. So it's Jerry and Cameron and Yaz, and they talk about all the unresolved vendettas and that you never let go of for as long as you live. You do very well
mate,
this podcast.
I got so many.
They're three boys from Sydney, and if you want to listen to it, they got podcasts with like great comedians. They got Ann Edmonds, Cam James from Finding Drago.
Oh yeah,
just all sorts of just funny boys.
Good names.
Yeah,
Right. Good names all around.
Good
all
names, right. Big names. Yeah, check that podcast out, yeah.
The Mug Off.
They're pretty rude, boys, but they kept it pretty PG. Ooh,
I don't like it if it's rude.
You like it when it's rude.
I like it a little bit sometimes.
That's right. Anyway, back to the news. I mean, that's the most important news.
Oh, great. But here's some news. And there's also a time codes if you do want to jump around. If you want to get to the New Mutants, if you really want to know that's a hot take. Hollywood Reporter have said that Black Panther 2 will film in July. So sources report that Shuri will take on a more central role in the movie's sequel. Mm. And the Narcos Mexico star Tenoch Huerta, and I looked up the – I put it out like phonetically so I could like say it, try to say it properly, and I didn't. Like that's as good as I can do. I'm sorry. I really tried, but I cannot do it with this accent for the life of me. Please send me emails. I apologize. They think he's going to be the antagonist in the movie.
Yeah, right.
So they we don't really know the storyline in terms of – well, anything about it, really. Like, what direction they're going to go with the villain. The obviously, they have to change the entire thing around the passing of Chadwick Boseman, who's going to take on the mantle if that even happens. And
Well, a friend of the show, Nando V Movies, on Twitter, suggested that his role might be either Wind Eagle, Moses Magnum. That might be my bet as well, because he's like an arms dealer in the style of Claw. Or Atuma, who's like a...
Atuma?
No. I've really stepped in it here. Look, I've never said this out loud. a tumor, I guess. No, that's even worse.
Like, that's like Arnold saying it in Cop.
That's exactly right. But I believe he is from Atlantis, which would...
That would mean Namor then at some point.
Yeah.
Okay, that's interesting. Well, they've got ties, don't they? Like those characters.
Yeah,
their origins
are
sort of linked or their worlds are often... It's kind of like the Amazons and the Atlanteans in DC, they've got that kind of...
But here he is. He's an Atlantean warlord.
He's got a big helmet.
He's got a big old headpiece. It's really great, yeah.
Okay, great. Okay, cool. So, yeah, look, we still don't really know. As they said here, though, we don't really know what they're doing, but Shuri looks like she's going to take on a more central role in the sequel. Mm-hmm. We haven't really discussed what we think they should do with that, because we don't want to be like... this is what they should do and make a CGI fight and have a CGI death.
And he'll appear in the spirit realm. Yeah, no, it's all a bit distasteful, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah, so we don't know what to – we've had a little peek behind the curtain. We've had a couple of small conversations about this, and every time we've been like, probably cut that out if I was.
But, you know, I'm sure they've probably – I know they're like, we're taking our time to like reflect and whatever, but I think immediately they would have been like, what do we do?
Yeah, for sure.
And if it's filming in July – they know what they're doing at this point. Mm-hmm. They'd have to have it pretty locked down at this point. So
I honestly think they at this point they wouldn't go, let's replace him with another actor and
no, but
and,
that though that would be better than the rumor, which is not true, that they were going to CGI double him.
Yeah, for sure, that would be better. Yeah, but I think at this point they're probably going to choose to go with Black Panther is a mantle and not an individual, and it's Shuri. It will probably will take the role. Would be my guess.
Yeah, but what? Look, I'll just say what I would like to see, because one, and I don't mean this to be distasteful, but I think because it's such a big role,
yes,
you would put two people in it. So you might put like M'Baku and Shuri
on there. They're both
and
Black
they're
Panther.
Both Black Panther, yeah, and not like we're fighting, but it's more like this is a big deal and these are big shoes to fill.
Yeah, and you could say, okay, well.
And he learnt lessons.
Yes.
And they both have different skills. Like he's more of a warrior and she's more like your Iron Man-y tech kind of.
Yeah, and they could do like one protects Wakanda and one goes around the world or something like that. So that could work.
You could do it like a team or whatever. Yeah. I don't know. Because, and the only reason I say that is because one person, it's like who do you get?
Yes.
Even if it's someone stepping in as a new character or an existing character, how do you do it? So. Anyway.
I guess Martin Freeman.
Yeah, he'd be ready. There'd be some people who'd love that.
Yeah, they really would. Yeah.
Not that he's great in those movies. I think I could be wrong.
Yep.
Deadliner reporting. Give this another go. The Predator 5 is in the works.
All right, cool, great. All right. So they all get 5 now, do they?
Five's when they get good again.
Yeah, maybe that's true, yeah.
We made that rule.
We did.
It only worked that one time. But
boy, did it work mostly. Fast and Furious, and then Hobbs and Shaw, which
then
wasn't
Hobbs
that great.
Shaw.
But then we get up to the fifth Hobbs and Shaw.
Denim shorts.
Denim shorts, a go-go. Everybody's in denim shorts.
Because he doesn't know what to wear in the field, Mason.
Oh, I get it now.
That's what I'm doing.
Right. He's taking an emergency sip of that kombucha.
So apparently it's not going to pick up on unresolved plot threads from the fourth installment. Remember at the end when he had a big waggly CGI predator suit.
Oh, yeah, yeah, the super suit. Yeah, yeah,
we did an episode on it. I think it's one of our meanest episodes in terms of movies that we saw. So
up until this week.
Yes. I think I have less to say this week, though.
I do also.
Yeah. But so it's not going to finish on from that. But it is directed by, I don't have the name in front of me. I think it's Dan Trachtenberg from 10 Cloverfield Lane.
Oh.
So that's good.
Okay.
If that is.
Might be more of a suspense-y kind of movie. I mean, less of a CGI monstrosity and just all machine guns blazing kind of thing.
Now, I might be wrong about this. And I probably am, but I think that's the best Cloverfield movie.
Of the two Cloverfield movies.
The three Cloverfield movies.
And the third straight to Netflix one that is very bad and doesn't count.
I didn't see Warframe in 2013. Oh, that's a...
Video game?
Yeah, that's a... He directed it and I'm like, what is this?
Oh.
Oh, it's a television. No, it doesn't matter.
Okay.
So he's only... the only films he's done is 10 Cloverfield Lane and the upcoming Predator film.
Yeah, right,
Yeah, so I think that's the bit that made me go, oh, yeah, okay.
Hmm.
I mean, and that's a trick, obviously.
Yeah, that's right. We're going to be tricked.
But you know, I think that's in a good direction.
Do you think this one will make money?
No, they won't. They never do. Also, it's like, where's the world going to be by the time this comes out?
Yep.
Well, is it a straight to streaming thing because the whole landscape has shifted?
That's true.
Which again, we'll talk about later. Mm. Now we don't really know what the story's about, but if I had to guess, they're going to bring back Dutch. I think that's the only hand they've got left.
Right, okay.
Because he hasn't been back in any previous ones.
That's true.
It's too late to do a sequel to Predators.
Do you do the comic book that also became a novel that was called Concrete Jungle, where it's his brother and they're identical, except he wears a suit and tie because he's a cop.
He's back from space or something.
Yep.
Or he's part of a task force, or they bring him back and they're like, you know how you did the Predator?
Mm-hmm.
There's actually a second Predator, and there might have been some Predators in the middle. But to
as
be
far
honest,
as we're concerned, they're non-canonical. Have you seen the Halloween movies? Yeah. You know how we cut most of the ones in the middle out? Yeah,
that's what I think they're doing.
Yeah, right, okay.
And maybe there'll be like a loose, you know, like they'll loosely reference other stuff.
Yeah, I think if that's the case, I reckon there might be a scene in a military base where you see some files flash on screen and it's like, Danny Glover, it's the other guy.
Yeah, exactly.
You know? Here's one of the Bill Paxton's or Pullman's being... killed in a subway car.
Here's Jake Busey. He was in the 2018 one.
Yeah.
Remember that?
Yeah.
Also, one of the ideas at the end was, I think they asked Arnold to come back for the last one.
Yep.
And I think he was going to do like a get to the chopper moment. He worked for the government kind of thing. Or maybe it was going to be that he was in the capsule at the end. Or maybe we just thought that would have been a good idea.
That's the one.
They
did
do a Ripley thing where they opened the thing and it was Ripley.
Oh.
But it was like young Ripley, which makes no sense. Time vortex.
In the Predator.
So at the end, for those people who haven't seen The Predator, it's horrible. But at the end, the Predator brings something to Earth because of global warming, because he wants to help the human race.
Is it technology that'll stop global warming? Nope.
It's a big Iron Man Predator suit, which they clearly added well in post because it looks bad and CGI. But one of the options that they filmed was they built an Ellen Ripley body, but it was like the age she was in Aliens, probably.
Okay.
And she's got a face hugger on her, and I guess she went through a time portal.
Because that's the far future. And this was the modern day. And so, wow, that's a real Hail Mary pass.
Yeah.
Because it gives the filmmakers so many options, but so few good options. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
Because they'd have to go, okay, well, this gives us the opportunity to introduce time travel or like some sort of, maybe they've sent Ripley's DNA back in time.
Yeah, exactly.
But how and why she got a face hugger on.
That's the image that was floating around.
Huh.
Yeah. And it's got like Ripley on her.
Yeah, right.
Badge.
But then it's also like, well, aliens, are we going to train the aliens like in Jurassic World to fight the Predators?
Oh, do you think?
Yeah.
Yeah, that would be cool. Well, there was also, because Predators was heavily reshot. I know we like criticized Shane Black for how bad that movie was, but there was a moment where the good Predators were going to team up with there's like footage of them all on a tank together, like the humans and the aliens. Uh-huh. I don't know whether that would have fixed that movie, but boy, oh boy.
Something may have done at some point.
Something
if they
may
kept
have
spinning their
it.
Wheels eventually, maybe something would have fixed that, yeah.
Anyway.
Okay, here's the thing though.
Does anybody want this? You mentioned the money.
Yes.
People don't care?
Well, that's what I'm
like,
saying.
Like, we sort of care because we grew up with this. But...
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. Speaking of Schwarzenegger, if they're like, well, we're going to bring back Dutch, you can't bring back somebody who isn't Schwarzenegger playing Dutch. But also, he was just in Terminator 6.
Yes.
that did very
and five
and for and that oh yeah, but they all did very poorly. Yes, so I'm guessing did. Like sure,
he's not a draw.
No, that's true. I mean, if they're like, but and if they're like, hey Arnold, do you want to come back to attempt to save another franchise that you were in, you know, and it and like the last one, it didn't.
That
it's
you
not going to work
all
out.
Of the sequels for
yeah
yeah.
Like, the burden is on you, Arnold, right now.
Yeah.
Well, are they going to try and guilt him into it? Is
they might
that...
have to. They Maybe. Said this is on you. Yeah. So, yeah, I don't know.
What would you, what about Danny Glover? They brought back Danny Glover.
I mean, sure, but he's like, they're all very old.
Yeah,
and,
I know.
No, that's, who cares? It's again, it's right. Like that, who cares?
I'm trying to think of any other
survivor. He came, Dutch just came back in the...
Adrian Brody.
Yeah, but again, nobody saw
that
movie.
No, I know,
movie.
Exactly.
I would love that. That's the right, movie yeah. I want to see. I want to see a sequel to that.
Yeah.
But
from the piano, though, from is the what I meant.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
From the movie Splice.
Yep.
But Dutch was, the character, was recently in that new Predator game, wasn't he? There was like a skin, and maybe Arnold came back for that. They at least had the skin of old Dutch.
Oh, did they?
Yeah. I think it's called Predator Hunting Grounds.
Oh.
Let me check that. We're talking about this too long.
No, I like this. This is good.
Yeah, but people don't.
Okay. Oh, it was like a first-person shooter?
And, and one of you is the Predator and one
the rest
of the whatever.
Marines. Okay, right.
Yeah. So it's here's an image. It's an old Arnold situation. You
For
know?
Everybody else who's listening, just do the same thing James did and Google it.
Google it and then look at it. He's then got we'll sunglasses and he's got a beard. And,
nice.
You know, and he's like, get to the chopper. And people are like, yeah, love it.
Yeah, there's really no other characters that survived that would, I mean, and none of them could really.
No, everyone in the first one's dead.
Yeah.
Anyway, let's really move on.
Yeah, okay, let's do it.
Because I want to talk about more video game, Mason.
Okay, more video game.
So IO Interactive, behind the Hitman games, the new ones,
yes,
they are working on a James Bond video game, an origin story.
That's right.
Where you earn your 00 status.
Yeah. We got a trailer. We didn't get anything really in terms of in-game footage.
And they said 2022, I think.
Okay, right. Yeah, it looked interesting.
I think this is a good idea.
Yeah.
I think, not that I've played any of the new Hitman games, but a lot of the recent Bond games are just shooters.
Yeah.
And mostly like Call of Duty style first-person shooters.
Yeah.
There's exceptions like Bloodstone is third-person, which I think is actually quite good. But it's a lot of like you kill 50 guys a level.
Yeah, and I mean traditionally in a James Bond movie, you do a little bit of infiltration before you kill
50
guys.
You've got a phone that unlocks a door or a window.
Yeah.
You've got a laser that cuts a lock.
Bond, we're
Bandits
giving,
are fine.
Bond, we're giving you this phone. It exclusively opens one window. We're not entirely sure which window it is, but we bet it's going to come in handy at some point.
So true about how games work often, isn't it? Yeah. And then you drop it afterwards.
Yep, that's right. You're like, well, I've used it. It took all the power to open this window.
So what I think they're doing here, I don't think they're tying it to any particular James Bond.
Yeah.
I think they're doing it like Spider-Man PS4, where they'll make their own universe and their own Bond. And it'll probably be an amalgamation of the
Is
ones
it even
over the
Bond,
years.
I wonder, I think? Is Or are you just becoming a 00? I think that might be the case.
Well, it says James Bond origin story.
Oh, okay, right.
So
never
presumably.
Mind. Yeah, maybe.
But yeah, that's I think people would want.
Yeah.
Remember they did a Jason Bourne game, which was sort of based on the movie, and it was not Matt Damon.
Yep.
From like 2009, maybe 2008.
Yeah.
That was a year of grey third person shooters.
My God, was it ever.
Wanted. Remember Wanted the video game?
Yep.
Remember 50 Cent Get Rich or Die Trying the video game?
Blood on the Sand?
Yes, something like that. And you had to get a crystal skull back or something?
Yeah, that's right. So
everybody got a third person
shooter. You got to go ham on everybody in the Middle East because they stole your crystal skull, I remember.
Just for people who think we're joking, real game.
Oh, yeah.
Real game.
Real game.
He voiced it. He had a lot to do
Even
with it.
50 Cent's probably like, did I? Wow.
Doesn't sound like me. Yeah. Here's some sad news, but not surprising. The Wrapper reporting that Black Lightning is coming to an end after four seasons. The CW is said to be still developing a spin-off around the villain Painkiller, played by Jordan Calloway. This is a show that I've never watched, but I know some people have written in
I've
and said they're big
some
fans
of it, and
of.
I enjoyed what I watched.
Yeah. I think this falls into the CW universe is collapsing in on itself, so they can move everything to the HBO Max, and they're doing the Green Lantern series, and it's going to be much cooler and you know what they're doing, they're making it real and more expensive
because there's nothing cooler James than a man with a glowing green ring and like a green unitard on just floating through space. That's cool and edgy, you know what I mean?
Denim shorts would be the closest thing you can
but
get.
They've got a green tint to them because he's Green Lantern
Ryan Reynolds obviously he'd return. So four seasons, you know, is a decent run, but again I think they're slowly killing all of this stuff for just because they are
just to centralize it
pretty much. So there you bloody go.
Yeah,
right. But still, you got one more season if you're a big fan of that show, which hopefully they can finish up in a good way. Deadline are reporting the Molyneux sisters, who people might know from Bob's Burgers, which I only recently started watching.
Mm-hmm.
Good show.
It is a good show.
I'm glad
there's
9 seasons I can watch. They're going to write Deadpool 3.
Okay.
It's moving ahead. And that kind of ties into the Predator story because they're both 20th century. They were 20th century Fox properties. They went over to Disney. And for the longest time, it was like, what are Disney going to do with your R-rated properties? Because they have
them.
Yeah. But like looking at these, yes. Except or Deadpool's.
Yeah,
like
yeah.
they're not doing well regardless, aside from
true.
Deadpool, are they?
No.
Where's Alien at? Huh?
Don't know.
Are people loving that? Anyway, so David Leitch, who directed the last one, he's booked until 2021. He's unlikely to return because of that reason, but the door is open for him to come back.
Mm.
I think I liked two more than I liked one. But I like them both. It's had more stuff in it.
Yeah, I like two.
The budget kind of,
I think I like two more. Yeah.
Enhanced the characters you could bring in and things you could
That's
do,
true.
Which I think helped that film. But
and Rob Delaney and
Ryan
Reynolds stepped me up. Yeah.
Exactly. So I think this is Disney making moves towards these properties.
Yeah.
So they're not just going to sit on the shelf. They're going to roll some stuff out from them, which I think is probably a good idea.
Speaking of Disney, did you hear this week? So there's an author named Alan
Dean
Foster.
I have a letter about this, yes.
Oh, do we want to talk about an hour later?
We can do an hour.
So there's a science fiction author called Alan Dean Foster who writes original stuff, but also for a long time he was like the official novelizer of various 20th century Fox properties, so
he
like did. Star Wars and Aliens.
He also
and,
did Splinter of the Mind's Eye.
That's right.
This Star Wars sequel, which was they were going to make if the first one didn't make money.
Yeah.
We did a comic.
Yeah, so he's been working on that for years, but this has come up recently because Disney acquired all of Fox's entertainment properties.
Can I say quickly thank you to Daniel the Temp for writing in and saying, would you guys mind mentioning this?
Oh, yeah,
this?
That's
so,
right.
I just want to throw that out there.
So what basically has happened is that they've acquired all the properties, including all his novelizations, for which he would normally get
residuals
or royalties every time somebody bought a copy or it was included in
which,
something
by the
else.
Way, they still do. People buy those books.
Yeah, for sure. Because, I mean, people come to Star Wars or Aliens or whatever and they're like, well, I've got to buy everything that's in the...
Because there's a lot of stuff in that original Star Wars story that's not in the in the movie.
But it turns out that they haven't been paying Alan Dean Foster royalties. They haven't even been sending him royalty statements.
Nope.
Because according to them, when they purchased the rights to these novels, they didn't also purchase the liabilities of the novels.
They believe that they still lie with the existing company.
Since they don't sell any of the books anymore, they don't have a liability to pay
and
him.
And he bought Lucasfilm, which is all of the Star Wars
stuff. Yeah, so they're basically saying, well, we bought the rights to sell these, but we don't have to pay anybody for them. We try to keep it light on this podcast. I'm like, oh, isn't it good that we get all the Marvel characters together because they bought 20th Century Fox or whatever? But at the same time, Disney get up to a lot of shady stuff.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
And I'm sure this will be challenged in court, and I hope turned around for him.
Maybe. Also, he's quite sick.
His wife is sick as well. I think. But
also he wrote the Force Awakens novelization.
Yeah.
So he was still working for them.
That's true.
Apparently he gets paid for that one, or that was, I don't know how that deal worked.
Right.
Because I know also with a lot of the new authors, they don't get paid that, like comic book writing and book writing, it doesn't pay that
well.
No,
that's true. Yeah. It's often per page in a lot of instances. Yeah. But so basically if Disney wins out of this, it sets a precedent where basically you could agree to publish somebody's novel or whatever and then just sell the rights to it to a company you also own.
Yeah.
And then you'd be like, well, we don't actually have to pay you anymore because we split up the rights and the liabilities. So
thank goodness.
Yeah, exactly. So cool stuff, Disney.
Yeah, cool
good
stuff.
On you.
So
you dicks.
I hope that I know there was a bit of a Twitter campaign about that.
Yeah.
But that sets a bad precedent for every company.
Yeah.
Because it shows what you can get away with.
Right.
It's the same with where Disney extended the copyright for characters.
Yeah.
Which is also...
Oh, Disney did something
Disney
bad
did
again.
That.
Wow.
That was a couple decades ago.
Yeah, it was, yeah.
Which basically extended the copyright for literally everything, which means things didn't move into the public domain.
Yeah.
Because they didn't want to lose Mickey Mouse or whatever the fuck.
Yeah.
So there you go.
The greatest character ever.
Yeah, though he's back in Disney shorts or something.
Oh! You know what he's like.
Yeah. Oh! What's
right?
that? There's too much water.
Yeah,
that's
right.
That's the thing, isn't it?
Yeah,
Who says that?
Louis C.K.
Okay, sorry, there you go.
No good. Also no good. See? Everything Disney touches.
You can't say anything anymore, Mason.
Right?
What do we got here? So Variety reporting that Terrence Winter, who worked on Boardwalk Empire, he has left the Batman spin-off series due to creative differences. This is a spin-off prequel of the Batman, which is coming out next year or year after, right, whenever okay. that's coming out.
And what was his role in this? Just the showrunner?
Showrunner. So, okay. yeah, whatever he did with Boardwalk Empire. And there's speculation, like, was he trying to make a two comic book movie? Was he trying to make a two real world? Like,
I reckon they were probably like, you're putting in too many of those little club collar, little white collars with the little, like, the little pin through them.
Is that something he's married to?
No, it's just Boardwalk Empire. They're all about that.
I know that, Mason. I'm just thinking, do you think that's something he'd carry over? And be
yeah,
like,
I think so. I think he's insisting on. I think they probably hired him based on those.
Yeah, it's like, and you said prequels, though. This is set in the same era as Boardwalk Empire.
That's right.
Like, well, we need like Commissioner Gordon, and he can be his granddad because I don't do that.
Yep. That's right. Everybody's got a bowler hat on.
So, I mean, not great news. Because, no. Look, to be fair, like, I haven't seen much or if any of Boardwalk Empire, but obviously it's a show that is very successful yep. that people like. So they're on the lookout for a new showrunner.
We could do it.
I'm busy. What are you doing?
I don't want to do it. I don't want to do it.
You don't want to do it without me, or you just don't want to do it?
No, I don't really just want to do it, okay, to be honest. Cool. When I said we, I meant me. And then I assumed you'd drop out, and then I'd be like, "Well, it's just me." And then I'm like, "No, I don't really want to do it either."
We'll put it down to creative differences.
Okay, cool.
That'll be out of our official statement.
Yeah,
for why we had to jump off this project. But look, we had a great time working with all involved.
Yeah, that's right.
We wish Noah will. Good luck to everybody moving forward.
Yeah, we got a pay or play contract, so we got paid regardless.
On to the next project, which we will also drop out of.
That's right, yeah.
I feel like there's some people that just do that.
It's the Game of Thrones guys.
It's the Game of Thrones guys. All right, trailers ahoy.
Mason trailers. Ahoy. Mason trailers. Ahoy. Mason trailers. Ahoy.
Mason trailers ahoy.
Very good. This is a long time coming. I've got a little bit of detail on this, but Chaos Walking, the trailer.
What's this movie?
Okay. It's young adult.
Oh, it's based on based on the best-selling novel. So, okay, right.
Here's the thing, though.
Yes.
I didn't realize this was young adult. I've got a few things that I want to mention about this. Oh, what's this trailer about?
Okay, the premise seems to be that Daisy Ridley is in a spaceship.
Yeah.
And she crashes on. I'm glad Daisy Ridley's getting work, just FYI. Although this came out, they filmed this ages ago.
They filmed this in 2017.
So
she got that job.
She was in a spaceship. It crash lands on a planet upon which all the women are dead, and there's only men. But men, there's something on the planet that means all men's thoughts are projected like above their head, like holograms.
Like that Auntie Donna skit.
Yeah, it's like What Men Want.
It is like that, but with pictures.
Yeah.
I saw they popped up on Netflix recently.
Oh.
I won't watch it.
No, I won't watch it either.
What was that? Wait, the Mel Gibson one
is what women want.
Yeah,
yes.
What Men Want's the new one. Sorry, go on. Yeah,
And also, like, if you're like, I'm thinking of a snake really hard, a snake attacks people. Your mind snake comes at people.
Does it really, though?
I don't know.
I don't think it's a physical manifestation.
Well, why is that Jonas Brothers spooked by it?
Because it's scary snake.
You'd get used to it eventually. You'd be like, whatever, mind snakes.
I guess it'd be like, but it'd be like if somebody, like, you flinched. With a basketball.
Oh, yeah, maybe.
You'd still flinch.
You still would probably.
And
Do you think Tom Holland's found himself a big snake? You'd be like, I mean, you could find
what
a basketball.
What if you had one on his shoulder? What if you had a parrot on your shoulder and you're like, nice dream parrot? And you're like, actually, it's a real parrot.
Okay. But what I would do then is I would exclusively think of basketballs. So then I'd be like, but I would also sometimes carry a basketball. And like,
that's what I'm saying.
Two for flinching.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, okay.
There's ways you could use it.
But not with a big snake is all I'm saying.
I don't even remember that from the trailer. I'm defending a thing I don't remember.
Nice.
But anyway, so this to me doesn't feel like a young adult movie because it feels like, you know what it does feel like? It feels like the fifth entry in a young adult series which people are sick of. And yeah, they're all like late 20s and they're like, okay, we'll just do this last one because when I was 14, I signed on for this five
Okay, I'll put the blonde wig on again. All right.
Well, the reason I think it feels like that is because also it feels like After Earth. Remember that movie After Earth?
Is that the one with the Jada?
Yeah.
No, the Smiths.
The Smiths.
Yeah,
the Smith Boys.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, it's got that vibe, right?
Yeah, a little bit, yeah.
So this was filmed in August of 2017 on an $100 million budget.
That seems pretty cheap for...
Does it? For running in the woods?
Oh, no, very expensive. But I mean for a blockbuster, for something with a Tom Holland and a Daisy Ridley
and
a Mads
Mikkelsen. Yeah, but this is also
But they're slumming it, is what I'm saying.
This is 2017, though, I guess, you know.
Okay, right.
But IndieWire reported that Doug Liman, the $100 million movie, was going to undergo extensive reshoots after the first cut was deemed unreleasable.
Wow.
But then they had the...
And have you seen some movies that have been released?
Unreleasable.
My God. Yeah, some of them are unreleasable, and yet they get released, so...
So what they had to do, because these actors were so in demand, obviously because of Spider-Man and Marvel and The Devil All the Time... They couldn't get them back.
Right.
So eventually the reshoots happened in May of 2019 for $15 million with Fede Alvarez, who did The Evil Dead in 2013 and done some other stuff, which I quite like. He did The Girl with the Spider's Web. I think the one you watched recently, the 2018 one.
Yes, I did like that
which,
one.
Which was a good one, I think.
I like
said.
It. It's yeah. pretty, you know.
So he came back and fixed it, I guess, or enough. And now it's moving. Now it's finally being released. It was also pushed due to the pandemic.
Okay.
So not a good track record for this movie.
No.
And it also doesn't look great.
Looks bad.
So make of that what you will. It could be good. Yeah. It could be like a World War Z situation where it comes out and people are like, this is all right. Okay. This wasn't like the book, but it told its own story.
Look at all these hologram snakes on his head. And one of the Jonas Brothers is like, bloody keep your thoughts to yourself, you weird hologram thoughts kid.
But he's
some people seem to be better at keeping their hologram thoughts inside their head.
Yeah, you practice, wouldn't
but
you?
But Tom Holland doesn't seem to be – he seemed to be bad at it.
That's because –
But I think by the end he'll be the best at it.
Well, he's 14 in this,
oh,
isn't
yeah,
he?
Right. Yeah, that's true.
Do you reckon there's any way you can make him bigger? Like you're like, now I'm thinking of a big Yeti.
Yeah.
People are like, wait a minute, where in the forest?
You have read the books.
Yeah, book number two, now I'm thinking of a big Yeti.
Yeah, that's right. What's it called again? Chaos something?
Chaos Walking.
Chaos Walking, there we go.
I'm sure there's a better name we can think for it.
I mean, it's the Big Yeti thing.
The Mind Snake. Can it hurt you? Maybe. Yeah. We don't know.
Great.
Justice League trailer.
Yep.
I did a video on it. You can check it out.
Oh, nice.
The main thing you need to realize is Steppenwolf is in it.
Oh, they've put out we finally get a look at the new Steppenwolf, which is really the old Steppenwolf we've seen.
Is it?
Well, I mean, we've seen
pretty different.
Yeah, it's pretty, but I mean, it's we've seen this before.
Oh, like from BVS or whatever.
Yeah, but no, haven't we seen? We've seen plenty of concept art of this before.
Yeah,
he's
I guess
a bit spikier.
He's a bit spikier. He's got
he's less of a man with a helmet on as a man who his head is a helmet.
Yeah, no, he's an armor. It's all in my video. I've got all sorts of details.
Great, terrific.
Yeah. I was going to call you up for him and be like, and I'm like, nah, I won't bother you with this. So, yeah, go through that. There's a whole lot of details that I've kind of picked up over the past few months, which I've added.
Okay.
Because it's mostly the same trailer.
Yeah.
There's a few bits and pieces.
What do you think of this new Steppenwolf?
It's better, but it's not great, if
no,
I'm honest.
No, I agree, yeah.
Yeah, it's definitely better. Because the last one was unreleasable. Some would deem it. That's just me, though.
Yeah.
Mason.
Yes.
Guess what's coming Christmas Day?
Is it Wonder Woman 84?
No, it's Monster Hunter. They moved it up.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah, they did.
Also Santa.
Yes.
All the kids listening, Santa is going
to
be.
No, he'll come the night of.
Oh, I guess
he'll
that's
do
true.
Like a Christmas Eve into early Christmas morning.
Yeah, I guess that's true.
Yeah, so that's
he's
exciting.
Bringing everybody Wonder Woman 84.
That's true, he is.
Yeah.
But guess what else is coming Christmas Day?
Monster Hunter something. Pixar's something?
Soul. That's coming.
Oh, straight to Disney Plus?
Did I say guess who's coming Monster's Day then? Or did I say Christmas Day?
We'll never know. Safety sip.
Yeah, Pixar Soul is.
Okay, that looks good. That's cool. Okay.
Mason.
Yes.
I'm still doing this bit, so what am I going to do next? Guess what's coming Christmas Day?
I don't know, James Watt.
It's Wonder Woman, 84.
Oh, yeah, nice, great.
I wore you down. You thought I was going to zag, and I didn't.
No. You said the thing that I said earlier, yeah.
So,
this got a new trailer released this week, but it's exactly the same as the previous trailer release.
I didn't watch it.
Okay.
Because I'm like, I'm going to see this regardless, and I don't need to see any more of this movie. True. So there's a few theories and even mentions of why they made this happen. Mm-hmm. What do you think of it, though? Oh, first of all, do you want me to break down the release schedule?
Not really.
Here we go. So it's going to come to HBO Max.
Okay, great.
People want to know this, Mason. Mm. On the 25th of December, it's in your stocking, hot and fresh,
yeah,
Christmas
right.
morning.
Yeah.
Like a big pile of manure.
It's big, a lot of steam coming off the top of that.
It'll look good. It looks good, though. Yeah. It's also going
to be like, oh, is this a delicious croissant or something? Freshly baked croissant?
Santa's. Santa's always delivering those Christmas croissants,
that's
isn't
right, it? Yeah.
It's also going to...
He calls them croissants.
Yes, very good. Mm. They're also going to theatres at the same time, the theatres that could open.
Yeah.
There are exceptions around the world. I think some places are getting it on the 16th of December. And I'm like, oh, cool, was that us?
Nope. Why
we get
would
the
it
day
be?
After Boxing Day, which is like a... It's the thing they do in Australia. They release movies day after Christmas.
That's what it's for.
That's what it's for.
You
so,
open a box and you're like, oh, is there a freshly baked croissant in this?
So, It's a croissant. But
it's a boxing dissonant, James, is what
okay,
it is.
Okay, I get you. But the thing about this is, what I'm going to say is,
yes.
Here I go.
Okay,
you apart here.
Do you want to take a sip before you do it?
Yeah, maybe.
Okay.
If you've got HBO Max, you can watch it.
I don't.
But most places in the world, including here, do not.
We do not have it. Do you think it'll be on the streaming
pirating?
Service? That,
no.
Pirating also, yes.
Yeah, it
do you
will
think
be.
It'll be on the streaming service that we have that
no,
basically
not.
Takes all the no. Oh, no, it takes all the HBO Max.
So this is what I think they're doing.
Yes.
I think there's a few reasons why they're releasing it this way. They're kind of maximizing the sale potential for this, considering the time period that it's coming out.
Yes.
That being said, it'd be lucky to break even. Like it could very well do much better, but this is an uphill battle.
Yes.
Especially when you make it available for piracy and then you don't release it
for several weeks.
For people to purchase during a global lockdown.
Yeah.
It's kind of seems.
People are getting so good at hacking.
They're really good. They're getting better every day.
Right.
So what I think they're doing is.
I've got one of those keyboards. You can't even see the letters on the keys. It's just a series of symbols that I've put on there. You know?
I bet
like
it's
in the
curved.
Movie Hackers. Yeah, it's curved.
Or it's got a split in the middle, so it's two separate keyboards.
Yeah, you better believe
thing.
It. Yeah.
And maybe they're on different levels.
And there's a trackball on one of them. Yeah, that's right. I've got a bunch of different monitors. You know?
One behind you.
You're one behind me, yeah. That's right.
So
got a toaster oven with my Pop-Tarts in it. That's there too. Never have to leave.
Don't have to leave.
Yeah.
So this will drive up subscriptions for HBO Max, which is good because even if they don't make their money back on HBO Max or this whole thing, if you get somebody to sign up and they sign up for 3 years because of this,
yes.
Wonder Woman will have paid for itself and then
that's
some
right.
if they stay on.
Yes.
It also means they're gearing up for Justice League. So this is kind of a little bit of
yeah.
like Justice League is coming. Don't you want to see?
Yeah, and I guess people might be like, well, I've signed up for Wonder Woman. I may as well just stay subscribed until because it'll be
yeah.
a hassle to unsubscribe then resubscribe for Justice League. So
exactly.
Yeah.
And the other thing is, if it's going to go to as many theaters as it can, so you'll get those cinema tickets. That'll probably get it at least 100 million worldwide.
Okay.
I'd imagine, depending what's open. Europe's fucked. I don't know. And also. After, I think, 30 days, it's going to go to VOD.
Yeah, okay, right.
So they're going to take it off HBO Max, which might be a result of maybe they made a deal with all the different, like Apple and Prime and whatever, that this has to go that way.
Yeah, right.
But also when you do that, you've locked in your subscriptions for HBO Max, you've got all the cinema tickets you're going to get, and then anybody who hasn't seen it, it can pop up on your streaming service and be like, oh, yeah, I paid $30 for this, whatever.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I'm not saying it's going to all add up to this making $1 billion because I'd imagine it wouldn't.
I'm going to say it's going to add up to exactly $1 billion.
Wow.
Yeah, it's going to be, yeah. They're
yeah.
going to be like, well, I don't understand it. And not one, not a penny less or more.
So that's.
Statistically, this is very unlikely.
Exactly. Yeah. So it's as good as a strategy as you could do
yep.
at this point, I think.
Yes.
And apparently also they're worried that it's getting stale. Like it was filmed in 2018. It was
okay.
long delayed.
Yeah.
So. Yeah, this is what they're doing. And
okay. What do they mean stale? Just the concept
well,
of it?
Well, yeah, because, you know, things can only sit on the shelf for so long.
It's also set in the 80s, so I mean, like.
80s are getting further away every day.
That's true. Mm. Yeah, but I think, yeah, but the early 2000s is back at this point.
Is it?
Yeah, I think so.
Boo. I was there.
Yeah.
I didn't like it very much.
We're going to bring back those big jeans. I think we mentioned on our conference just those big jeans. You know,
yeah.
Those big jeans, they're always too long, and
yeah.
you'd see people walking down the street and they'll just.
The ground is wet.
The ground is wet and it's just tracking all the way out their legs.
You've got
and
an
their
inch,
jeans
of, inch of water at the bottom of your
just
jeans.
Just tracking up their jeans, yeah.
I loved it.
Yeah.
I didn't have those.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
When picking a commerce platform for your business, you got two choices. Oh, this piece of shit, mother f***. Or sales. I definitely prefer... Don't you? Because that's a sound you'll hear when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that's supercharging your selling wherever you sell, online, in person, on social media, and beyond. Shopify is the best all-in-one commerce platform capable of handling your business's complexity no matter how big you grow. Step up to Shopify and harness the best converting checkout and the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. For example, Ruggable, NYX, Magnolia, Cotton, and so many more. Now you're probably thinking, sure, but migrating is going to be a headache. The Shopify App Store has the migration apps that you need to migrate your products, orders, customers, and more from every e-commerce platform to Shopify. And maybe you're one of those people who are like, hey, don't put me in a box. I don't want to be in this box, either metaphorically or for real. Thankfully, Shopify never will, because with Shopify, you can control your brand and business from your storefront look to your back office operations. And you know what's really annoying when you're checking out from an online store and you have to put in all your payment details and all sorts of numbers and letters and whatnot? Well, with the Shopify store, they actually remember my shipping address or your shipping address if you were using yours, plus the payment information. So say if I'm on the couch and my wallet is in the kitchen, I didn't even have to get up, which is my favorite thing. Stop leaving sales on the table, switch your business to Shopify, and discover why millions trust Shopify as their all-in-one commerce platform to build, grow, and run their business. So sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/weeklyplanet, all lowercase. That's 1 month for just $1 at shopify.com/weeklyplanet. Shopify.com/weeklyplanet. Cha-ching sound effect. We all know that 2020 isn't playing by any of the usual rules.
Oh my God, you better believe it. Bring on 2021, you know what I mean?
I agree. And that also goes for holiday shopping too. Because between shipping delays and the mess and stress of in-store shopping experiences, there aren't great options, are there, Mason?
Not at all.
But our friends over at Movement Watches have made gifting easy. Movement makes clean and modern watches, blue light glasses and accessories, getting great quality and style that doesn't have to break the bank.
You better believe it.
That's right.
I'm wearing a movement watch right now.
What do you think of it?
I love it. I've had it for ages.
What kind of movement watch is that?
This is the Voyager.
Oh, my goodness.
Look how nice it is.
It's very nice.
Isn't it very
Can
nice?
I have that
you
watch?
You can't have it.
For the holiday season, though. Just I want to borrow it for the holiday season.
Can I just buy you a new one?
Yes.
There we go. All right.
Look, they've got fantastic watches, but what I want to talk about is their blue light glasses. This is in relation to their Black Friday sale, which is live right now, so you can get ahead of your holiday shopping with the biggest sale of all time.
Wow!
Wow! So Movement's Everscroll blue light filtering glasses are a personal favorite of mine. You know that I wear them every time when I'm using the computer on at night.
That's exactly right, yeah. Yes.
With lenses that protect your
I
eyes.
I look through your window every time and I'm like, oh, he's got those glasses on.
He's looking good.
It's going to be great for his sleep.
For lenses that protect your eyes from long hours in front of your screens that come from tons of fashion-forward styles to choose from, give the gift of better sleep, better focus, and better style. I mean, a lot of people working at home from now, you know what I mean? A lot of people
right.
in front of screens doing Zoom calls and meetings.
You don't know when to bloody switch off,
you
know
really
what I mean?
Don't, yeah. So bloody give them a look, obviously. You can actually check out Movement's biggest sale of the year with fast free shipping and free returns by going to mvmt.com/weeklyplanet. That's mvmt.com/weeklyplanet. Check it out. They're good. Good
they
watches,
good
glasses, good accessories.
Yeah, everything. It's bloody good.
It's the season.
But yeah, it's all the stuff.
The season.
It's all exclusively for the stuff.
Season. But there you go. I think that's a good opportunity, though, to work our way into New Mutants, more like Old Mutants.
Nice.
This is, again, long delayed. The box office that it cost $67 to $80 million.
Okay.
Ish.
Sure.
And it made 45.
Okay.
Because it came out during a pandemic and Disney were like, Here it is. We don't care.
Yeah.
It was shot in July of 2017.
Yep.
I've got a list of things. This is what happened to that movie.
Okay.
It was so with a release date of April of 2018.
Yep.
But then it was pushed back to February 22nd, 2019
okay.
to miss Deadpool 2.
Yep.
But then,
oh, I loved Miss Deadpool 2.
T-O-O?
It's, yeah, that's right.
Deadpool 2.
It's just Deadpool and he's got a dress on.
Very good. And then it also got moved, and then it got moved to August 2nd of 2019, but they moved that away from Dark Phoenix.
Yep.
Then the reshoots were happening, but then that didn't happen because of the Disney purchase, so they didn't end up doing any reshoots.
Which is surprising, isn't it, upon watching the movie?
No, I'm not surprised. I think they saw it and went, why would we?
But it feels like a movie that's been reshot.
Does it?
Yeah. Yeah.
I feel like it's a movie that's missing things.
Maybe that's it. We'll get to it.
So it was moved to April 3rd of 2020. Obviously, the pandemic hit. So it was delayed.
It was so close. I remember seeing that in the cinemas.
It was actually delayed indefinitely.
Yep.
And then it was released in May of August 28th of this year. And nobody saw it, including us, because we were in lockdown then. What do you think the story was?
Okay. So this is a girl.
Yeah.
Danny Moonstar.
Yeah.
And she's like, oh, no. And her family's like, oh, no. There's a tornado coming. We're going to save you from this tornado.
Something's coming, he says. We need to save you.
And then there's the tornado or something. Or maybe it's not a tornado.
Maybe it's a big bear.
And then she wakes up and she's in a hospital for mutants. Yep. And there's one doctor there who's like, you're a mutant. And she's like, okay, I'll take that on face value.
And you can't leave.
And she's like, oh, seems fine, great, good. And then she's like, then they're like, hey, meet the other teens in this hospital.
They're one of them's like, also.
Yeah, and one of them's like, I'm Russian and a racist. And the others are like, we're just other teens. We don't have personalities.
Some of us have accents.
Yeah.
Some of these might be our real accents in real life. It's neither here nor there.
And then it's like,
I was cast because Game of Thrones was big. At the time this was filmed.
That's right.
I like Maisie Williams.
Yeah. And then they're like, weird stuff's happening in this hospital, isn't it?
Ghost stuff, maybe.
Yeah.
And then it turns out that they all have to use their powers. And it opens with the classic, which I missed, if I'm honest, the Marvel logo, but at the top of that it says in association.
It does, yeah, in association with Marvel,
Just so you know.
Yeah.
This is your granddaddy's Marvel.
It absolutely is, yeah. This is we should say this is the last gasp of the X-Men franchise. Yeah. It does tie in the loosest possible sense.
Because they mention Professor X, sort of?
Well, no, they say, one of them says, hey, you know the X-Men, don't you? And she goes, yep, even though there's no establishing moment where this movie, it's odd, isn't it? Do you find it was an odd movie?
It's not an X-Men movie. I mean, it's got mutants in it who are in the X-Men.
Yeah.
But it doesn't tie to anything or mention it. Yeah.
But it requires a certain amount of assumed knowledge. Like the characters are aware not only that they are mutants, obviously, but that the X-Men are out there doing X-Men stuff.
Yeah.
But also, yeah, like I said,
which X-Men universe is it? Because there's a million. Yeah. I'm talking about the movies. Every movie is in a different universe, I think.
And I think this one probably is as well.
Mm.
Or it's in the, let me think.
I think it was supposed to be in the 80s initially, like it was going to be tied to the.
I think this one is maybe in the X-Men Apocalypse universe.
Yeah, that's the one that I.
So it's in whatever
that timeline
is. If
that one is set in the 80s, which I think it might be. Well, it's not. They go to the mall? Is this better than like Dark Phoenix Apocalypse though?
Not really.
But I don't think it is. What I do like about it.
I think, yes, go ahead.
Is that it's different for an X-Men movie.
Yeah.
I think the idea is there's something in it,
mm-hmm.
but I think they've clearly just chopped together whatever they could to make it as short as they could.
Yeah.
Or maybe they didn't have enough footage.
Well, I think the thing about this movie is.
So short.
Yeah, the thing about this movie is that I think you're right. In theory, it's a good idea. And I think we have.
Because if you look at the X-Men comics, it's not all like Dark Phoenix and the end of the world shit.
Yeah, that's true. But I think, like, in theory, the idea that we go, okay, well, it's a horror movie, but it's in the X-Men universe, that's an interesting premise. But I don't think it is written, like, to cater with the idea that it fully has mutants in a horror movie. You know, and that's, like, for months we've been like, well, we're excited about this because it is, the concept has been interesting. But I don't think it is that interesting.
Or it wasn't executed interestingly?
No, and I think a lot of this is just like, okay, well, just put some standard issue teens mucking about scenes in here.
Yeah.
Because that's what happens in a horror movie. You have some teens mucking about.
That's fun.
And we'll just put that in
there.
Felt
like the poor version of, remember they have that scene in First Class where they're all like, you're Cyclops because you've got one eye. He's not in that movie. But you know what I mean? There's a moment where she's like, and I'm Mystique. Right. And I was like, oh, this is the worst part of this pretty good movie.
Yeah.
But there's like scenes like that in this.
Uh-huh, yeah.
Or one in particular where they drug the nurse, the one person who works there. Weird setting because it's spoilers. Fuck
oh,
it.
Yeah, like, yeah,
spoilers.
Okay. I'm going to say...
It's fine.
It's fine. Look, I'm going to say, honest, just worst movie ever.
I think it had it all. I think it had the last gasp of the Fox X-Men and their reactionary take on most of the movies working against it.
Yeah.
And it was probably had a bunch of stuff that fit into that continuity, which they probably took out.
Yeah, right.
And I think also it never got a chance to get reshoots.
Yeah.
And and it's obviously been heavily delayed and, like, maybe the money that was supposed to go into it didn't. Mm. So all in all, like, yeah, it makes sense.
Sure. I just think it's like it's muddled and it doesn't know what it wants. Does it want to be a horror movie fully, or does it want to be like it's not horrific enough to be a real horror movie, really?
No.
And it's not superhero-y enough.
No, there's a moment where the guy who can fly and catch on fire chains himself to a cinder block and flies in a circle.
Yes, that's true. Yeah.
Is that superhero enough for
you?
Oh
my God, is it ever? You better believe it. Yeah.
Anyway,
they're all, yeah, okay, cool. Well, spoilers, anyway.
Spoilers. The villain is the one woman who works in the hospital with them and a big mind bear.
Yes.
And I guess Essex Corp. But yeah, they don't really expand on that beyond that they're being experimented on or whatever.
Well, that's why I said it's probably set in the apocalypse timeline because I think, isn't there a post-credit sequence
in
one of those?
Yeah, with Mr. Sinister, links to that on Mr. Sinister
but
or
that's
something.
The thing. Like, the premise of this movie, or at the outset, the one doctor that they talk to is like...
Is there another person in that hospital?
I don't think so.
Cool.
Because at one point they're like, she's like, you're mucking about and I'm going to put you in solitary. And then she just drags him by the elbow to put him in solitary. But anyway, so the premise that their belief is, the kid's belief is that they've been sent there in order to...
Harness their powers,
but they don't actually do any of the harnessing of the powers. There's never like a training montage where they're shooting lasers at targets or anything.
Like, you're kind of on your own. Like the dude who ties himself to a cinder block and flies in circles.
Yeah,
like it's not. So you'd be like, this is suspicious.
Yeah,
we can't leave, and nobody ever visits, and they're not training us.
And that's the
thing. It's just like weird roundtable discussions about our feelings
and meditating with your eyes shut and stuff like that. But if that premise is true, and it's like it's Mr. Sinister attempt, building these living weapons so he can later use them. Why isn't he teaching him how to do stuff like?
Is that what he's even doing?
I don't know,
because I know there's also like she has like a mind flash where it cuts to like a white walled hospital, kind of like what we saw in Logan.
Yeah,
with Daphne Keene, flashback with the Weapon X program they're replicating.
Yes,
but those things aren't linked. So is it like you get taken to there after you get your power, like you fix your powers or whatever?
I don't know.
They probably explain it. Look, I wasn't really watching it.
But there's no instance right at the start of the movie where she's Danny Moonstar is having a normal-ish life and then suddenly her mutant powers manifest and then it's a clue to later is what is going
to happen. Well, I guess there is. Because
the demon bear.
The demon bear.
Sure.
It's kind of like, you know what it's like? It's kind of like the movie Sphere. You ever seen the movie Sphere? And probably the book it's based on is probably by Michael Crichton, or it isn't.
Uh-huh.
There's a big sphere they find under the ocean.
Yes.
And everything you think of when you're asleep becomes a reality.
Yes.
Like maybe you think of squids attacking the base.
Okay.
And that happens. Right. That's what she's got.
Of $1 million? Well, then $1 million attacks the base. In golden coins.
Yeah. So it's that, right?
Yes.
And there's other examples of that where you manifest your dreams or whatever, I'm sure. They're like, it's in Batman. You know the episode of Batman where Batman has to kill that girl? Because their mind is taken over, like, ultimately.
Oh,
reality,
yeah, right. Uh-huh,
he doesn't,
sure.
Or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
Uh-huh. So this is like a worse version of that.
Yes.
Yeah. But I didn't even know.
You don't know where you were going with that.
I'm out of kombucha.
You're out of kombucha.
Anyway, what were you saying?
I can't remember what I said. Well, that's the thing. It's so scattered as a movie. Yeah. I don't see that. But also, like, the weird. So what happens is Danny comes, then that's her power. Like, she can sense people's fears and then they manifest in reality. So every character has a fear that is manifested, but
sometimes their fear is the long con. Like, it presents itself as an Anya Taylor-Joy for probably 40 minutes, and then when you turn your back, it turns into a girl on fire.
Yes, right.
And I'm like, whoa, that is commitment to that to that bit. Because a lot of the time it's just like a spooky man.
Yeah, right.
But that's like, it lures him in.
Yeah.
They have a whole lot of rapport.
Mm-hmm.
Weird.
Yeah. Sometimes it's a priest who could be Brendan Gleeson, but it isn't. Initially you think it's Brendan Gleeson, but it's just a man with a hot poker or whatever.
Yeah. And sometimes it is that.
Yeah.
Some of them have arcs, is what I'm saying.
Do they?
No, I mean like the manifestations do.
Oh, right, okay, sure. Some of them are a bear.
One of them is a bear.
In the comic books.
Yeah.
See, what I think is interesting is because the New Mutants, like the team,
yeah,
was sort of formed in this era in the 80s where there was a lot of – the X-books were a lot of mutant stuff and also magic and sorcery and things.
Okay.
Because we have a character in this literally who's called Magic.
He's got one magic arm.
Just got one magic
and
arm.
And teleportation.
Teleportation and
– and a dragon or something.
He's got Lockheed the Dragon.
What's the deal with that dragon when it's not a dragon?
What do you mean?
Like it's a stuffed animal.
Yeah, I mean, in the comics, it's just a dragon. So.
That's what I thought.
Yeah. But in this, I guess she's got... So in the comic book, her mutant ability is she can teleport, but she also has magic abilities. So she's also a sorceress, which is where, like, the one arm and
looks
and the sword comes
the
from.
The arm and the sword looks good.
And that's
good.
How she knows the dragon, I guess. And in the comic books, Danny Moonstar is also one of those characters where they never really knew what to do with her. So, like... So initially she had that the fear manifests in reality powers, and then she could shoot like she had like a psionic bow and arrow, so she could shoot like energy bolts.
Whoa.
And also she was a Valkyrie at one point, like an Asgard Valkyrie. Like so she had the
like that was her origin, or she got that job.
No, she got the job.
Cool. Must have interviewed well.
Right. Exactly. Yeah.
I could do the big bear thing.
Can do attitude.
Totally.
Doesn't really have the height, but she has the attitude.
It's not about
know?
That. You can put some heels on that.
But anyway, in that version, the demon bear isn't a manifestation of her own fear.
It's a literal demon bear, isn't it?
Well, it's the souls of her parents
that
were turned into a demon bear by a demon called the Adversary.
Called Demon Bear.
Right?
It's a demon bear making demon bears.
That's right.
Sorry, go
and
on.
And the Adversary was a demon that was let loose from hell by the mutant Forge, who used his magic powers to save his Vietnam buddies in Vietnam from a demon bear. Exactly. That's right. So it's this weird. So, but they've just had to clearly. It's from that like.
Yeah.
It's from that point of the X-Men where they're like, this is too complicated. It's like, you know how the Juggernaut is magic
and Professor X's brother.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, but that's too much to put in. So you just go, oh, the Juggernaut's a mutant. So it's the same with this where they went, okay, well she's magic, but also.
The bear's in her mind.
But they're all and the what is the dragon? Is he in somebody's mind or is he?
Yeah, but I think also like what they did is not is not complete. Like I guess it's slightly simpler, but it's like she gets a story about how you've got a bear in your mind.
It's never a bear in your mind. It's always wolves. Have you ever heard that version of the
story?
Yeah,
you got two wolves and the you've one you feed and whatever.
It's never bears.
This time it's bears.
But
it's one bear.
But it's
because a bear is about as big as two wolves.
I guess
like, bear, I think that's what they. But that being said, this bear is much bigger.
Real big, big bear. But also, I think it's maybe
it didn't start as a big bear.
You know what? I would have loved to have been in the meeting where they propositioned this idea, because they'd be like, "Why don't we make it two wolves? There's a character who can turn into a wolf in this movie, so why don't we make it wolves? Because the main girl, the bear, they're like, well, we could just make it not a bear. No."
It's a bear.
We're going to make it a big demon bear.
It's a good-looking bear.
I mean, it's pretty all right looking.
It's a good-looking bear. When it turned up, I'm like, this is a good-looking bear.
Right?
This is a bit where she touches the bear and the fur on the bear moves. I'm like, that's hard to do.
Nice.
Probably. Mm. Yeah. But the bear, you have a bear in your mind.
Yes.
And if you get afraid too much, the bear gets bigger.
But only if you have the mutant abilities to make that manifest.
Well, no, because if you don't have the mutant abilities, it's just it's a metaphor for, like, I guess, aggression and being sad.
Uh-huh.
I assume.
So was any of this movie a metaphor for anything?
Yeah.
What?
Mutants.
Oh.
Because that's a mutant, that's a metaphor for, you know, for the
I guess it is,
society.
Sure. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So at the end, after they kill the one lady in the hospital who has, who's constantly just putting force fields around the place.
I had a, here's James, have a question before we get to that.
I don't know.
No, I know you don't. But okay, so here's the thing, like I'm talking about, like they just added some teens mucking about bit.
Yep.
The horrible racist Russian girl,
yep,
who is just racist all the time, just to her for no reason.
Yeah,
she's like, I've drugged the doctor, and she's unconscious. But she's a magic girl, racist Russian.
Yeah,
you're also a murderer. So why didn't you just murder her?
Yeah, that would have been a good idea.
Like you should have like. And
but do they want to stay so they can be in the X-Men? Is that no. why?
They want to leave. They all want to leave, right?
Yeah, they all want to leave.
But also, like, they don't. A, she doesn't murder this nurse doctor person. But also, they don't even go and check to see if the force field that's protecting
the property goes off
when she's unconscious.
I was unclear whether they knew she was directly responsible for that. I mean, I think there's a scene where it's she throws one up around one of them,
yeah,
before she tries to kill, but I don't know if they all knew that. Or maybe they did.
They did. I'm pretty sure they did, yeah. Mm. I mean, surely, even if Moonstar doesn't know, surely the other kids would have been So instead of being like, hey, let's escape now that this woman's unconscious, they're just like, hey, let's dance and eat some popcorn.
Let's have a little fun montage. But then we'll go for different rooms.
Because this doctor didn't let us dance or eat popcorn, I guess. She let me tie myself to that cinder block and cannonball around on my rocket legs, but she wouldn't let us get in a wheelchair and wheelchair it around the hospital.
Yeah, she works for Essex Corp. They're not about that.
No.
It's like Professor X's school, except slightly less dangerous.
Right.
Yeah, slightly less dangerous, I'll say.
Yeah.
The force field, I think, helps being less dangerous. I don't. It felt really short. It felt like half a movie.
It felt like the Generation X pilot that never really went anywhere.
If this did come to TV, I'd be like, yeah, this is a pilot.
Sure, yeah. They'll change some stuff of this before it makes it to series,
They'll come back and they'll have slightly different haircuts and maybe one of them was recast.
That's right.
Yeah, I'm up for that.
One person will have completely different powers because nobody understood them originally. So
you can't make it a wolf because there's a girl that turns into a wolf.
Right.
Because then you got two wolves.
You got two wolves, yeah.
Mm. That's why they didn't do it.
But then they've got... Wait, now they've only got one bear, haven't they?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think how it culminates in they kill the lady who trapped them.
Yes.
And then they fight a big bear that's in their mind. That's not an interesting...
No. And also, it was very vague... Sorry?
They team up like X-Men.
Well, they do team up like X-Men. I was really hoping for a moment where there's a line in it, I think, where somebody's like, I know what we have to do. And I was hoping they'd be like, we have to combine our powers in a clever way. You know, Fantastic Four style, but they never did.
No.
But it was unclear to me as to once the fears were manifested...
Yep. Can you kill them?
Seems like you could, though, right?
Yeah, I think so. But they could probably come back.
Or could they come back?
I don't know.
Right?
So you're saying if they killed the bear, would the bear re-a-bear?
Or the men in the mask.
Yeah, there seem to be like a lot of them.
Or not enough. Or Cannonball's fear, which was that his dad worked down the mine or whatever. Was that his fear?
Yeah,
he blew up
or something.
Yeah, but then why... Maybe it's not very good, I think.
We both saw it.
Yeah, that's true.
Would you recommend people pay money for this?
No,
definitely
absolutely
not.
Yeah. No.
What about if it pops up on Disney Plus and they hide it in a tab?
Yeah, maybe.
Under $1 million Duck.
Marvel Legends or something. Yeah.
Would you say then give it a look-see? It's a lot of wasted potential here.
Yeah, I mean.
In terms of cast and
if you have
doing
seen,
a different X-Men
if you've
movie.
Seen everything else on Disney Plus and Netflix and like. You've listened to all your suggestions on Suggestible and you're like, I've watched and listened to all of that. I don't have anything else to watch, maybe this.
And you want to see a big bear.
Is there well, that's the thing. I guess what you could do is just fast forward to the end when there's the big bear.
Mm, but do you get the payoff? Do you get the, because the twist in this is that it's a big bear. But before the big bear turned up, and they're like, something's coming, run to the woods. I'm like, I'm pretty sure this is a big bear. Like, so when the big bear turned up, I was more surprised that they included the big bear due to budget constraints.
Right.
I'm like, this bear's getting a lot of play.
Maybe they got a great deal on CGI Big Bear.
They might have. Well, what do you do?
Maybe they got some of that dark Russian money.
Yeah.
And they finally got the character Bear from the movie Nightwatch.
Oh, yeah.
Who always and constantly threatened to turn into a bear and never turned into a bear. But this is the unused CGI from that movie.
Also, I guess you could just CGI like a regular sized bear.
Mm-hmm, bigger.
And then you do like a tool to like drag it bigger.
Yep.
And people are like, oh, but you didn't pay for the full bear. And you're like, well, too bad.
Yeah.
So, you know, you could make a really tiny CGI one.
Yeah.
So it doesn't cost much. And then
postage stamp bear.
Yeah.
Now, if anything, that's scarier because you'd be like, ooh, there's something in the letterbox for me. Ah, it's a little bear. Ah!
It's got red eyes. Anyway, crap.
Oh, yep. Crap movie. Yet another.
Not worth the wait.
And yet another. Put it on the big pile of stinkers.
Nobody creatively involved with this, I blame.
No.
I think it's a result of many factors.
Right? What are you going to blame Maisie Williams? You're going to be like, hey, Maisie, look over there and act scared because there's a big bear, you know? You can't see it now because we haven't finished it.
Pretend to turn into a wolf.
Right?
To fight the big bear.
Yeah.
How did they kill the doctor?
The big bear killed her.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, initially, Maisie Williams slashed her all up.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
But
yeah.
Then the big bear came and killed her.
She got the both the wolf and the bear metaphor.
Yeah, because she was going to... That's right. That's right. There's a wolf and a bear inside everybody. Which one gets bigger? The big bear, because it's bigger. And psychic powers, probably. And also Maisie Williams, a little gal, you know?
Little.
Turns into a regular size wolf.
Yeah.
But anyway, yeah. Because remember, she's going to kill them with her psychic force field bubbles.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then the big bear shows up.
The big bear, you're right.
Yeah, yeah.
And they find their fort.
There's a bit in that where like, she's trapped them all in their bubbles, but Cannonball's arm's out the top of the force field.
I thought
buzzer.
They were going to do something with that.
Maybe they were, but there wasn't the budget for it.
Why do it like that?
I don't know.
Like, put somebody out who can't do that.
Right.
Like Maisie Williams, because she can't shoot stuff.
Right.
Like, she turns her arm into a wolf. It's like,
yeah,
not impressive.
Yeah.
Anyway, I didn't like it.
No, I didn't like it.
I didn't like it.
It's a bad movie. It's a shame, isn't it?
Yeah,
The last gasp of the... Is it better? Okay, but is it better or worse than Dark Phoenix? I'm trying to remember what happened in Dark Phoenix.
I don't know.
There was the train goes in the air or whatever.
Probably. I think I like more people in Dark Phoenix because they're in... Like, I like McAvoy and Fassbender.
Yeah, right.
And I'd seen their characters in previous movies, which I enjoyed.
And I guess it takes place in locations other than a room.
Yeah.
Also, a lot of this movie didn't feel like... It felt like...
Remember the bit in Dark Phoenix where they crossed a road?
Yeah, it was a big game of Frogger. Yeah, I do remember that. This, like, the hospital room Danny wakes up in doesn't feel like a real room.
No.
Just feels like, okay, do the set dressing so it looks like an unused hospital room. This, a lot of that movie felt like that.
This felt like the movie Elektra, like that era of comic book movie.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
Yeah.
Because it was bad.
It was bad.
You know what it's time for?
What's it time for?
It's time for what we're reading.
Oh, what we gonna read.
Let's get into that, why don't we? Yeah, well, we've got the opportunity.
Nice.
I'm doing the thing. Westworld.
Really going for it this week.
You gotta be in it to win it, Mason.
Good for you, James.
Thanks. What are you reading this week?
I don't
know.
I'm trying to think of something. I'm sure I did.
I've got a good... Well, you watched New Mutants. I know that.
Oh, yeah, we did watch that, didn't we? Yeah.
I read, and I'm glad I did.
Yes.
Barbarian.
Oh, don't tell me, James, the bloody Black Hammer spinoff.
That's right.
Nice.
So for those who have read Black Hammer, it's good. And those of you haven't read it, read it because it's good. It's got a number of spin-off books and whatever.
Yeah,
and
this
one follows Barbarian. Mm. It's by Tom Bromble, Gabriel Hernandez, Walter, and Jordi Belair.
And Barbarian, for people who don't know, is Martian Manhunter, basically.
I think he's even named like Mark Marks or something
Marky Mark.
Marky Mark.
Mm, yeah.
So it's set in the 80s during the AIDS epidemic of the 80s. And so Barb Alien, or Mark Marks, he's gay and an alien and a cop in this era, and his planet hates him. And also, like, a lot of society hates him, and also a lot of cops hate him.
Yes.
So they've got all these things, like, bearing down on him. And it's about, like, you know, social conflict and prejudice and all those things.
Yeah, yeah.
And like everything in the Black Hammer universe, it's really good.
Yeah.
And really well fleshed out characters and beautiful art in it. And it says things. Do you know what I mean?
I know.
It's like about things.
Yeah, I recently caught up on all the Black Hammers.
Yeah.
So
it's
terrific. Yeah. So that,
what a great universe.
Pretty good.
What are they doing with that at the moment? They're doing something with it, aren't they?
Probably making a TV show.
Yeah. What else were you going to say?
I mean, it is all very familiar to comic book fans because everything is kind of like an homage to...
It's a TV series.
Here's the thing, though. I think that a lot of this stuff for me, the closer to the original source it gets, the more the shine comes off it for me. Like, I know you like Dr. Star.
Yeah.
But that is basically Starman. Like,
But the story it's based... Did you read that actual story?
Yes, I did, yeah.
Oh, so that's what happens in Starman.
No, not really. Not the whole alien planet thing.
Yeah, yeah, and he's the aging thing and all that. Yeah, yeah. Okay, cool.
It's good. It is a good universe.
This is also set in the era where everybody else in his team are running around. Like,
sure.
This is before they get marooned on that
farm
or whatever. Yeah, when I started this, I'm like, when is this set, like, in this universe? Because what happened in the end? Doesn't matter. Maybe we shouldn't spoil it.
No, let's not spoil it.
Yeah.
Oh, you know what? I mentioned this briefly last week.
Oh, yeah.
But our friends over at Stupid Old Studios.
SOS?
Yes.
If you go to Google Maps, you'll see the Auntie Donna boys waving out the window.
That's exactly right. Where they live.
That's
where they all live. But I mentioned this last week. Over at Stupid Old Studios, they recorded a bunch of stuff sort of during and around pandemic time, like a bunch of sort of as live as possibly can be shows. I've been watching a bunch of those.
Really,
and they're
cool,
really good.
Yeah.
So Double Denim, which features Laura Frew and Michelle Brazier, who you see in a bunch
what
of Auntie Donna sketches. Jude Pearl, who is a really, really great a musical comedian, has a show called Roommates the Musical, which is really, really good. She's so talented.
Excellent.
Friend of me, certainly. Xavier Michaelides has a great show on
I've
there.
Never met Xavier Michaelides, so
nice
friends
man.
Of you.
Yes.
Specifically.
Yeah, that's right.
Friend of half of the show.
Friend of half of the show. Really just great, weird stand-up.
If you're in a lockdown and you can't be seeing no comedy and you're starved for content,
get in it. And as we mentioned, Al and Andy have Magma.
They do.
Which is really great. And Annie Louie's stand-up show. It's all good. And if I remember correctly, our friends over at Do Go On have some stuff over there as well.
Yes, they've been doing some live stuff. I think they did one Sunday, the day of recording this.
And I've nearly finished Miles Morales' Spider-Man.
Oh, yeah. I've played a bit more of that. I know a few people said, can you do an episode on it? I'm just not getting through it.
Too difficult for you, James.
Yeah, it's too difficult. No, it's the right amount of difficult for me. But I'm loving it, mate.
It's good.
I'm loving the feel and the combat and the swinging and all of those things. Yes. Should be fall damage, but and the story. And I don't need to PlayStation 5 yet, which is good. So I know
that
people
true,
like,
yeah.
well, the low times, you got to see it to believe it. I believe it.
Yeah.
But I can wait. I can, like Load Times itself, I can wait a little bit longer.
I did have one glitching issue, or two. I had two glitching issues. One, there's one point where you appear in a new scene and you can only see like the top of Miles's head and the rest of his body has disappeared.
Well, that's his ability. You can do that.
Oh, yeah, good point. That's an excellent point. And also at one point I was killed by some bad guys and my PS4 just locked up and I was just sort of like buried in...
Oh, no.
In the ground, so just twitching.
Did you have to re...
I had to switch everything off and start again, James.
Yeah. Oh, boo, I hate that.
Right?
That's what happens with the iPhone, you know what I mean? You buy the new one comes out, the bloody old one crashes or whatever,
know what I mean? Yeah, yeah. I know exactly what you mean, James.
Great stuff.
That's about it, I think.
That's about it?
Yes.
Then should we do the letters of the show?
Yes, unless I can think of something else.
Okay. You don't have to. You've already named some stuff.
I have named
You've
some named stuff, haven't
things.
I? Yeah, no, I have named two things.
Oh, all more right. than that, because if there's all those things that you went
That's
through.
That's true, yeah. All right. Mm. Letters.
The classic one was letters, oh letters, we love you. Some letters, they're only a day away.
I know they're here right now. We're gonna do letters.
Hey man,
yes.
if you wanna send a letter to the show, you can.
Hey.
Hashtag it's well worn off, Mason. I've only got regular water and it's just not doing it for me.
Well, you were running on fumes.
Hashtag Weekly Planet Pod on Twitter if you want to send through something. Or you could send through an email to weeklyplanetpod@gmail.com.
Yeah.
And what do you got, Mason?
Okay, I've got a whole bunch. This is from someone who hasn't said, please don't use my name in this, but I'm not going to say it. I'm not going to say it anyway, just in case. It's subject line, 3 quasi-interesting Christopher Nolan stories.
Okay.
Hello, gents. As a 15-year veteran of the trailer industry, I have a few stories about the Noel Meister General, not a real nickname, that you might find interesting.
Here we go.
Okay. It's common for trailer editors and producers to be given scripts for movies to help plan a campaign, even before shooting begins, typically couriered or emailed or what have you. For Batman Begins, however, we were driven to the Warner lot, relieved of our phones, and placed in a secure room with video surveillance, and we were given 45 minutes to read the script.
Phone from 2004.
Right?
What are you doing with that?
It's
got like 8 pixels on it.
Yeah, I know, you're copying stuff into your notes, your little notes thing.
I guess so.
You could put in 5 lines of dialogue.
You could just remember it.
Right. Well, the Noel Meister General, he's all about security. We're forbidden to take notes. We could only read and remember as best we could and then propose a campaign based on what we read. For The Dark Knight Rises, after gaining his trust the first time around, we were driven...
So that was The Dark Knight, not Batman Begins.
That was Batman Begins.
Okay, I stand by my phone thing.
Yeah,
sorry,
right,
go
right,
on,
right.
Yeah.
For The Dark Knight Rises, after gaining his trust the first time around, we were driven to the Hollywood
Hills... What
happened
Hills, in the second time?
Doesn't say. To a mansion for private screening of the work in progress of the film. It was opulent at home, as you could imagine, with a screening room comparable in every way to any cinema you could hope to visit. After seeing the film, we asked if we could say hello to Christopher. We were told with a chuckle that this wasn't his home, this was his office. His home was the one 3 times bigger than this, right above it on the hill. He had purchased this one simply to work out of and walk down whenever he wished to edit or write.
Jesus, right? He must have made bank on The Dark Knight.
The third one.
They laughed. They were like, as if we'd live in this shithole.
Right, like you.
Fucking idiot.
Yeah. Imagine living in this or something worse than this.
Did you see that Matthew Vaughn Leak?
No.
A day after.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Oh, it's juicy.
Yeah.
Even if you remember nothing else about Dunkirk, you must remember the iconic ticking clock sound motif of trailer. It won an award for the best use of both ticks and tocks at the Golden Trailer Awards, probably. Well, when that trailer was being worked upon, Nolan sent a message to the trailer community essentially outlining an embargo on the sound of a ticking clock. If any trailer shop used that sound in a trailer for any other movie 6 months before the release of Dunkirk, he'd never work with them again.
Jesus.
Pretty good. He says totally normal, not weird stuff at all.
That's kind of weird, though. I mean, he says it's pretty
not weird,
normal.
But I think it is weird.
It's a ticking clock.
I think you've been skewed from
weird big house.
Yeah, big house and 15 years in the trailer industry. So, yeah.
Oh, that's crazy.
All right?
Mm.
Pretty good, though.
Oh, man.
You got any stuff? I got a bunch of letters, but you go for it.
Yeah, no, well, I was just going to bring up that. I did my letter from before. So this is on a Zoom call for an actor.
Okay.
And this is... allegedly Matthew Vaughn.
Oh, right, okay.
It was. talking to an actor and he's doing a Zoom audition.
Okay.
And this is what he said. He didn't realize he wasn't muted.
Okay.
This is what he said about the guy's apartment, which you could see behind the guy.
These poor people live in these tiny apartments. Like, I'm looking at his, you know, background and he's got his TV and you know.
Yeah, mute it. I know, it's a shitty apartment. That's why give me this job so I can get a better one. All right. ready?
Oh my God, I'm so sorry.
No, it's Lucas. Totally, listen, I'm living in a 4x4 box. It's fine. Just give me the job and we'll be fine.
So for those who heard that and you were unclear, yeah, it's basically him trashing this dude's apartment thinking he was on mute on a Zoom call edition.
Oh dear.
Which look, hey man, they're like, he hates his apartment. It's not that big a deal, I guess. Yeah, but that's pretty rough. Right, be like, yeah. Look at this piece of shit idiot. His dumb apartment, trying to earn a living. What an idiot.
What an idiot.
Yeah. Do you reckon he's got a Christopher Nolan-esque house?
Matthew Vaughn.
Yeah.
Yeah, probably.
I don't reckon he'd have that quite. He'd have like the one below his recording studio that he bought. There you go. Yeah, so that's fun. That directors fun. Sometimes can be strange, I guess.
Yes.
This is from Very Macho Nacho says, I recently watched 2004's Thunderbirds for nostalgic reasons. That was an adaptation of Thunderbirds, but none of them were puppets. And maybe Bill Paxton or Pullman was in it.
I remember that one.
And thought that a more mature remake would be pretty great. Are there any child-orientated properties that you think would make a cool movie if they were more mature?
Teletubbies.
I think they've done that. There's probably YouTube shorts of that.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
They're like, the sun is actually killing them or
but
whatever.
I'm saying put $200 million into it.
Yeah, okay, fair enough. Yeah, for sure. Okay, do you want to cast it now or do you want to just leave it at that?
Statham.
Yep.
All of them.
And the sun.
Yeah. I'm coming to get
I'm
you.
I'm coming to get you. I'm going to get you in there. I guess Power Rangers comes to mind because of that cool short.
Yeah.
Often when they gritty up a thing, I'm like, oh, yeah, it's the Muppets, but they're all on drugs. I get it.
Yep.
They're all heroin addicts. Yeah. But, is there a market for that, really?
I don't know. I wonder if it's, you know, if it's something you remember fondly from childhood. I think the number of people who are like, I want it to be gritty and now and a post-ironic, post-modern thing. I think that market is slimmer than we think.
I think they tried to do more for comic book stuff.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Where it was like Batman, but, well, they still do that, but it's real. Or like the Joker, but
it's real.
It's real. It's real. It's Jason Statham as a Joker.
It's the DC Comics real label.
Yeah.
It's your stories you love, but it's more real. It's ain't your grandpappy's line.
It's Shazam, but he's on heroin.
Yeah,
it's real. It's real. Yeah, it's very real.
So real.
Yeah. Yeah. I guess Power Rangers. I guess I'd like to see another gritty or regular Ninja Turtles movie, it was in the original comics. But yes. I think that's more of a deviation from the original cartoon.
I wonder how gritty you could get in a live action Ninja Turtles movie.
Well, I feel gritty, oh so gritty. So for me.
Yes.
I'm out.
No, there's none left. you're out of Zoom juice, James. But I wonder, like, because the concept is so inherently ridiculous, how like sincerely grim and gritty and violent can you go in live action? Like prior to this we've always had either it's the buffer of it being a comic book or animated, or you do where you give them catchphrases and they're fun-loving and wacky and kind of that kind of thing if they're in live action. But has there ever been – do you think it would survive a – this is dark.
I think you could do it probably as gritty as the first but nothing beyond that.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah. And it probably still wouldn't do very well.
That's true.
I think all of the stuff that people know since then, they're all kids' properties. Like it's still on Nickelodeon and there's been multiple incarnations and all of them are pretty – kid friendly. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
What else, Mason?
James, I got one here. This is a two-parter email. This is from Fergal Ryan. So 4 days ago. It says, "Dear James and Meso, thanks for all the pods. Just letting you know you'll be keeping me company as South Australia heads into its first full and proper COVID lockdown. We all wish you well in Victoria during your lockdown, so in return, please send me coffee and croissants from a loon in Fitzroy. I'm probably going to try and make my way through a bunch of Big Sandwich movie commentaries since I've exhausted all of the book clubs."
You absolutely should.
And then yesterday, never mind.
Oh, yeah, because they came out of it.
They're not in lockdown.
It was like 6 days or whatever. Yeah, yeah, Good on them, man, that you did it.
That's right.
I know there's a lot of places in the world which are grappling with lockdown and whether or not to do it or not. And I know that's tough because a lot of people are like, I've been locked down for 8 months. And now right. They're like, we might do a bit of a lockdown.
Yeah. Anyway, I'm going to do a couple more emails, James. How do you feel
about
that?
I love emails.
Great. This one says, "I lied to a friend and I made a thing."
Yeah.
This is from Matt. He says, "Hey, James and Meso, my friend Rachel got me to subscribe to the podcast Reply All and I love it, but I love yours more. So I decided to return the favor and lie to get her to listen to the Weekly Planet. I told her the premise of the show is comics, movies, and TV shows, TV shows, and that on the recent Tenet episode, at the letters portion of the show, you had special guest Alex Goldman of Reply All call in. She was very confused when Alex did not show up, but thoroughly enjoyed the pod and will continue to listen." There we go.
Got ya.
Yeah.
That's what we need. We need out and out lies.
Yeah.
Straight up.
Matt also has a, he's attempting to become a board game designer and he has a board game on Kickstarter now called Reality Shift.
Reality Shifting.
Yeah, that's right.
I've heard of such a thing.
So that's exciting.
Oh, cool. Excellent.
Yeah, so people check that out. I'd be excited to see what that is.
I do like board games. I thought I hated board games, but I just realized I hate people.
Oh, yeah, and you have to work with people.
Yeah, no.
There are board games for one. Did you know that?
What? Really?
There are, yeah.
I don't want that.
Okay.
Aren't they called video games?
Well, I was going to say video games are better.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what are we what are you about in board games?
I don't.
You know, like there's someone who doesn't take it seriously.
Yeah.
Or like too seriously, and there's someone who thinks it's dumb and they just say it's dumb the whole time.
What I will do, if somebody's like, "There's a board game night," what I'll usually do is I'll play. Like, I'll be very earnest and I'll play, like, the first round of the game.
Yep.
And then I'll stop playing and I'll just be on my phone for the rest of the night.
That sounds good.
Right?
Yeah.
Because what I'll do is I'll ascertain what is the minimum number of players for whatever game that is going on. And they'll be like, "That's 4 to 6 players." And they'll be like, "There's 5 of us here." And so I'll play the first one.
Like,
"Man, this was so fun." And I'll get really into it and I'll be like, "This is really cool, guys." And then I'll be like, "That's enough for me." Luckily, there's still 4 of you, so...
I often do that with poker.
Yeah.
Like, I'm just like, I'll play a few hands, and then I'm like, I don't care.
Yes.
And then I'll make some ridiculous bet.
And you'll lose all your money.
I'll lose all my money.
And then you'll show back up here, and Claire will be like, what did you do tonight? And you'll be like, "Nothing." And then she'll be like, "Well, explain why you're naked but just wearing a barrel with suspenders holding it up." And you'll be like, "Oh, you know."
I'm not terrible at poker.
Uh-huh.
I'm not good.
Sure.
But I'm good at lying to people.
Yeah, like your wife.
Like my wife about where I got the barrel from. Yeah.
You went to Crazy Barry's Barrel World.
That's right.
I was in a barrel
rolling down a hill race, Claire.
Wow. Yeah, that's right.
Have you ever heard of that?
Yeah.
I told you about it.
And I won all this debt. Oh, a couple more emails, James. I hope you're ready for these.
You know I am.
This is from Tyler. "Hey, James and Meso, Canadian listening here, writing in to share a pretty awesome milestone.
I love milestones.
In less than a month, I'll be celebrating 2 years cancer-free and was wondering if I could be named the official Canadian cancer survivor of the
Fuck
podcast."
Fuck yeah, that's awesome.
If there are other Canadian cancer survivors listening in, I'd be happy to share the title as long as I get to keep it on Mondays. That's when the podcast comes out.
That would be funny if he's like, "That is mine."
Yeah. Well, congratulations, Tyler.
That's awesome, man. Congrats. That's huge and good news.
And I've got one more email here, James, for you.
For me?
I mean, it says "Hello, lad," so I assume it's
for all right for me.
Anyway, it's subject line: "Doobski with the podcast."
Okay.
"Hello, lads. Having been doing online learning and being stuck in my tiny student housing room, I can safely say having a Wendy and listening to you talk is the highlight of my Mondays."
I don't know what that means.
Neither do I.
It's a doob? It's a doob?
I guess it's a doob. I don't even really pay attention sometimes. In my opinion, best way to listen. Anyway, love listening to you. It's from Elliot.
Smoking weed.
Loves a Wendy.
Wendy smoking weed. Here we go.
Yeah, okay.
Does Wendy Williams smoke weed?
I don't know who Wendy Williams is.
She's a game show, talk show host.
Okay, right. Wow.
I don't know what wow. I'm just getting a bunch of Wendy Williams
results. Well, James, I think we should popularize this then, if that's That's the case.
So it's our idea.
Yeah, it's our idea. Yeah,
terrific.
Yeah. Anyway, congratulations. Congratulations, Elliot.
Not a bloody Wendy, mate. Good for you. It's not for me, to be honest. I'm not against it. It's just not really my vibe.
Same. You? But I mean, you know, Dubski with the podcast.
Do what you got to do.
They go together like a horse and carriage. You know what I mean?
They do.
Yeah.
Like a bear and a wolf.
Like a bear and a wolf battling out for supremacy.
It's
the end of
the show.
End of the show, Jack. How you feeling?
We're just going to get out of here. Yeah. We did it, yeah.
Yeah, nice.
Let's take it out. Why don't you take us home and I'll read the reviews.
Okay, okay. Thank you, everybody. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you for telling a friend. Thank you for subscribing and liking. And everybody who sends in like a – the people will send in like a listener art or they'll send in a letter or things like that. James is just clutching his face. He's resting his face in his hands.
Just keep my head up near the mic because I'm going to talk in a minute. Yeah. And if I put my head down, I might
You'll collapse. Yeah, exactly. Or your face will land on your barrel. Who knows? Thanks, everybody, for leaving a nice review. You got one there, James?
Got two, Mason.
I'm ready.
This says, James and Mason killed my parents. Mason said to lie in a review. There it is.
Oh, very good.
Now I have to put on a different pants because I dropped my big sandwich on them. So many references.
There's a lot of references.
Topics.
Good solid references there.
This one is says grateful, but there's an 8 in it. It can't be easy to maintain the quality of the show these many months the way the boys have. They just wrote it normally. And I feel confident in saying we, the listeners, are eternally grateful. Please don't forget to pay attention to yourselves when you get the moment. The dog is old enough now to watch a baby, eh? how old does a dog have to be to watch a baby?
Good question. How many years is a
dog's 8?
Yeah.
Which makes her times 7. 7/8 of 56. That's old enough to watch a baby.
Yeah, yeah. But not too old.
Did you know I'm excellent at timetables?
Yeah.
I was a teacher, so you know. But I'm really good at, like, unusually good at timetables. Just so people know.
Yeah.
So if you ever come at me, I'll be
ready.
That's
right. Yeah, yeah. If you ever you're playing poker with James and you're crushing him and then you're like, and he's like, hey, how about we make this a times table competition instead? Don't accept it.
Yeah,
he will crush
you. Exactly. I'll lose a few to make you feel
that's
good.
Right, yeah.
But then,
and you'd be like, how about $1,000 a times table? And then it's a whole white man can't jump situation.
So please, the dog is out for watch your baby, and keep on trucking. Tramming? You both deserve it. Deserve the respite and being and bring to countless others each week. From Frasbot. Thank you very. That was very kind. And also that goes to, I think, of everybody out there. I mean, and there's a lot of people having rough years, and we've been lucky enough to be able to work through this and
yeah, that's right.
Maintain an audience and people have signed up to Big Sandwich and just been generally listening and being nice, and we really appreciate you guys.
Really do, yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
It's a two-way street.
Yes, absolutely. And thanks, everybody, for being nice over at the Planet Broadcasting Great Mates Facebook group. Everybody's having a grand time over there.
I agree.
Really good. Anyway, if you'd like to get a hold of us, you can go to weeklyplanetpod@gmail.com, at Facebook, at Twitter, at Bandcamp. We've got all the commentaries and all sorts of stuff. You can also go to planetbroadcasting.com. You can sign up to the newsletter from the great Rob Collings.
Editing this.
That's right. He's at Rob Collings and he's at The Weekly Planet on Twitter. On Twitter, I'm Wikipedia Brown. And on Instagram, I'm Nick Maso, NickMaseau.
Yes.
And you're Mr. Sunday Movies Everywhere, James?
Yep.
I mean, not in your real life.
No, I've got a real name.
That's right. But we'll never tell.
We'll never tell you. You probably know, but you'll
it's James.
Tell.
It's James. If you want to support the show, you can go to patreon.com/MrSundayMovies, if you'd like to chuck in a buck. You can also go to the Amazon affiliate link in our episode description.
That's right.
And buy some stuff on Amazon. You get it to deliver to your home. We're going to see a little something out of that.
Agreed.
You can also sign up at BigSandwich.co. As mentioned, $9 a month. You get all sorts of bonus stuff and bonus podcasts and movie commentaries and all kinds of things.
We might now try to squeeze in a Wonder Woman commentary before
We could do that, couldn't we? Out, yeah, good call. Nice.
So that might be a nice Christmas day. Well,
that's no, right.
Probably a few days prior. We'll figure it out.
Yeah.
Cool.
James, we should do a movie commentary advent calendar. One commentary every day of the month.
I feel like there's enough on there where you could do that. Uh-huh. Like people could do that, don't you think, already?
Yeah.
Good, so we don't have to do it.
We don't have to do it at all. No. Just
part of my brain was like, could I do that?
Just imagine your own out there. Day one, some amazing Spider-Man crap we did. You
exactly.
Know, right? Yeah, nice. We got some T-shirts on tpublic.com.
That's right.
Thank you to The Brute and The Basilisk and Rackham for all our musical themes. That's the whole show.
It's the whole show.
What's next week?
Don't know.
We'll think about
that. I honestly don't know.
James,
but there was a topic that you said,
something about saving franchises. How would you save a franchise? Who would you bring in? What would you do? Plots,
save, revamp, whatever. Keep them brief. Send us to us on Twitter, weeklyplanetpod@gmail.com or at Mr. Sunday Movies.
Maybe I'll start a thread in the Planet Broadcasting Great Mates Facebook group.
That's a good idea.
Yeah. Anyway, James, you have a good night's sleep.
I will.
And a kombucha. Have a breakfast kombucha.
Oh, already? Is it breakfast already?
Yeah, it's just about breakfast.
Okay, great. See you guys next week.
Grab that jammy, guys. We'll see you real soon.
Goodbye. Oh, more Star Wars shit on Caravan of Garbage this week.
Oh, yeah, nice.
Do some Rebel stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
I mean, if you want. It's up to you.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.